welcome, everybody. Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current commercial real estate market here in Southern California. As we take a no BS look at both sides of the issues driving this market today to find the best solutions going forward. With our man in the middle, Barry Saywitz. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning, Paul, and good morning to all of our viewers and our listeners out there. I am Barry Saywitz, president of the Saywitz Company. It is Tuesday morning. We are live, and we are going to talk some more real estate and some exciting new things relative to not only the city of Anaheim, but Orange County. But before we get going, I got to do a shout out to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who kept me up way later than I wanted to last night. Just an exciting game for those people who didn't see it. And for people who look back on this, it was an epic game. Really, folks got two for the price of one. Congratulations to them. And we'll go again in a few hours tonight and wish them the best. And with all of that said, our goal here is to have people get good information, make good decisions, and pick up something new. So we'll hope we'll do that again today. I'm excited about our guest. I want to welcome Mike Waterman, president and CEO of Visit Anaheim. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on. We have had other folks in the past from the city of Anaheim on the political side, but your role with Visit Anaheim is really more on the entertainment and the wow side, I'll call it, in terms of all the happenings, the development, and really the growth of the city.
Yeah, we're contracted by the city. We're the official sales, marketing, and promotion arm of the city. Our goal is pretty simple. We're here to drive overnight visitation to Anaheim, whether it's international or domestic. So super fun job, and the team's doing amazing things.
Yeah. So I want to rewind for a second, just in terms of your personal journey. You originally are from the East Coast in New England area, and then somehow found your way out here to Southern California. I guess talk about those early years and what happened and what brought you here.
Yeah. So I actually started in the hotel business back in the late 80s and worked my way up through Marriott. And my last job with Marriott was actually out here in Southern California. Our office was in Newport. We had, at one point, it had all of the Western region, which went from Texas to Chicago all the way to Hawaii. That was a little aggressive. Over time, the jobs changed. But 26 years on the hotel side, and then got recruited first to Houston as president CEO at Visit Houston. I was 49 at the time and did that for 4 years, and then got recruited by Visit Orlando. Did that for almost 5 years as chief sales officer, and then was lucky enough to land the president CEO job back in May of last year here in Anaheim.
That's
so
great.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah, certainly. And those other jobs in Houston and Orlando really was to take your experience in the hotel industry and really apply it to a wider, broader scope of how do we bring people into those cities and make them aware of all the things going on.
Yeah. So most of the funding for what we call a destination marketing organization, a DMO, is typically through some sort of tax. Ours is called a TID, a Tourism Improvement District. In Houston, it was called HOTAX, Hotel Occupancy Tax. But our funding is primarily through hotels. So both Houston and Orlando wanted somebody who understood the dynamics of how to fill hotels. So that's why my experience was valuable coming into the DMO space. And for me, Houston was a classic example of how development drives visitation. When the recruiter called me, I was living in Southern California, living in San Clemente. And I remember it was a Friday afternoon. And he's like, "Hey, I got a perfect job for you." I'm like, "All right, tell me." He's like, "Houston, Texas." And I literally hung up on him. I'm like, "Why would I move from Southern California to Houston?" And he said, "I'll give you three reasons. They're spending almost $2 billion for infrastructure improvements. They're adding a new Marriott Marquis hotel. They're renovating the convention center. It's going to be a whole new campus." And I'm like, "That's intriguing." And he said, "The second thing we're going to do, they're going to host a men's Final Four basketball tournament, and they're hosting Super Bowl 51. So I was like, "Okay, that's stuff I can work with." And it was crazy for me while the 4 years I was in Houston to see how that investment in the infrastructure community of tourism and travel changed the game.
Yeah.
Like we were, nobody in Houston talked about a staycation in Houston. They all went to Austin or San Antonio. And by the time we were done, the locals, the visitors, San Antonio was like, Houston was the number one market in San Antonio for visitation. When I left, it was like five.
Really?
So people were staying and they were enjoying it. They were going to baseball games. The Astros were hot, then won the World Series. So it was a really fun time for me.
And it's interesting how oil spurs development, spurs and tourism, which then spurs housing, which really just,
agreed.
I mean, that city really did explode.
And it continues. It's what if what people forget is most of the time, almost every single time, if you and I are thinking about potentially moving our family to a different city, we're going to go and travel there first and experience it and eat there. We're going to see what's going on. So there is a natural connection between visitation, staying in a hotel or an Airbnb, and then ultimately moving and investing in the community and reinvesting back into it. I saw that firsthand in Houston and at a much bigger expanse in Orlando, because in Orlando, with what we do, travel and tourism, every single year between Disney, Universal, and SeaWorld, there was something new, like a new ride, a new attraction, a new whatever. So for us, even regular annual visitors would want to come back and see what was new and fun and exciting. So
yeah, much more exponential scale,
much bigger.
And much bigger international scale with those giant parks there.
Yeah. Orlando did, just to put it in perspective, Anaheim welcomed 26.3 million visitors last year, which was a record for us. But when I was in Orlando, we were at 75 million. So it's a 3X. It's much bigger. Disney World's much bigger, way more hotels. And it's, you know, that means our job as a DMO was bigger because we had to fill more hotels. We had to fill more attractions. We had to do more stuff, which I really enjoyed.
And so how did you end up back here on the West Coast?
Yeah. So the last two times, Houston and Orlando, the recruiter who moved me into both those jobs, his name is Mike Gamble, and he runs a company called Searchwide. He called me on Anaheim. And at first I turned it down because I loved what I was doing in Orlando. And we just put my mom in hospice and it just wasn't the right time. But 2 months later, he calls me back and he's, look, this is so perfect for you. What Anaheim needs is a bold, aggressive, hungry leader who's going to think outside of the box and who's going to really work with the hotel community to make sure all the KPIs and all the things we're doing are going to benefit the, and plus there's all this cool stuff going on in Anaheim, which we'll talk about in a minute. I was lucky enough to make it to the finals and here we are.
Yeah. Congratulations on that and welcome back.
Thrilled to be back. We love Southern California.
And so now you've got this challenge slash project slash excitement ahead of you, because there really are a whole variety of different dynamic developments and growth opportunities for the city, which then correlates back to what you're doing.
Yeah, look, between Disneyland Forward, which I didn't even know about when I took this job, one of the primary reasons I took this job was this OC Vibe project, which again, much to my chagrin, is still not universally known, but hopefully will be in the next 8 to 10 months. But OC Vibe is a privately funded project by the St. Henry Samueli, who owns Broadcom, and his wife, Susan. And they are building OC Vibe, which will be the largest live entertainment venue in North America, 4 times larger than LA Live. It'll have 4 musical venues, 2 hotels, 2 4-acre parks, 8,000 parking lots, 36 restaurants. It's going to be a new downtown Orange County.
Yeah.
And it's already under construction. The parking lots, the parking garage, which is always going to be free, is already open. I was at a game, or I was at a WWE event last night and parked in the new structure. It was awesome. So that's a, they say $6 billion. When it's all said and done, it's probably going to be closer to $8 to $10 billion. When
just
it's all said, massive, privately funded. And the whole concept is this project is going to fund their foundation long after they pass. And they've made the Gates resolution. They're going to give back all of their wealth. They're worth $30 billion, give or take. So that's a game changer for Anaheim. For sure. And then you add Disneyland Forward, which is doubling the density of the park. They're taking about 200 acres of surface parking lots and building vertical parking garages and putting 8 to 10 new attractions in.
And then that fuels everything else that's going around it. I want to go back to OC Vibe for a second, because for those folks who aren't familiar with what it is, I guess we'll give a little, an even bigger plug for it. Talk about where it is in terms of the location and what it's going to encompass at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a great question, Barry. OC Vibe, so the Samuelis also own the Ducks. So it starts at the Honda Center, and then they quietly, over the last 10, 12 years, purchased up a little over 100 acres around.
So they bought all the
Honda,
stuff
from the Honda Center.
And all the stuff across the street and down the street and all the automotive.
So it'll be this legitimate sort of downtown hub of Orange County, because it really isn't that now. And it's going to start opening next November. Like the 5,600 seat multipurpose arena should be open by November. Their corporate office building, 6 stories, the 26 of the 36 restaurants will be open. And then the crazy thing is the Samueli family just announced $1 billion investment in the Honda Center, which is owned by the city, not even owned by them. And that's going to be ready for the 28 Olympics, where we're hosting indoor men's and ladies volleyball for
the
Olympics. It's
going to be awesome. And then you have the transportation center there.
Yep,
you have
Arctic.
The train coming through. It really will be the center confluence of what's going on.
Crazy. And the city, we've been working with the city, Sergio Ramirez and the team that do economic development, Mayor Ashley Aiken, who's amazing, city council. We're working with them to try to figure out what the east-west connector. So we've been talking about it for years. We need to connect Arctic, which is our intermodal train station, bus station, to the convention center, which is less than 2 miles away, and ultimately to Disney. And we're talking to multiple, not we, but the city is talking to multiple vendors that could satisfy that east-west connector between Arctic and the convention center.
And will it be a monorail? Will it be a tram?
There are multiple conversations happening. There's a company out of Europe that has a gondola system that they're talking to. They're also talking to the folks at the Great Park here in Irvine, same company. The challenge is it's new technology. People are reluctant to necessarily be the first. They'd rather be the second or third to give it a try. But that's an option. They're also talking to a more of a electric autonomous vehicle that would ride on an elevated platform versus a monorail.
Yeah.
Because then you can put more or less from a capacity to hold six to eight people. So there's multiple conversations happening. And I think in the next year, we'll make some really good progress on figuring that out.
And I figure what that does for just the growth of that part of town is it spurs all kinds
Everything.
Of other stuff, right? So
Everything.
It's one thing for the vibe to be a central destination location,
yep.
but you're going to see housing pop up all over there.
All over.
You're going to see ancillary
commercial
businesses,
real estate, everything.
And then you're going to see these older sort of antiquated industrial buildings get torn down
yep.
for something bigger.
Yeah, the city's pretty progressive. Anaheim is really progressive in trying to figure out. They have a research pharmaceutical hub they're playing around with, and they are very thoughtful in their design and development of what the city needs to look like. Matter of fact, it's called Anaheim 2.0. There's a city-run project that we're trying to figure out what transportation looks like. Because, look, my goal is to drive as many overnight visitors with my team as possible. And we've got an aggressive goal of 30 million visitors by 28, which is the Olympics. But we think in the next 5 to 10 years, we could be at 40 to 50 million visitors coming through Anaheim because of all this new demand. We need hotels for that. We need transportation for that. We need housing for that. We need all that, right? Because workers need
Workforce housing. And they can't keep coming from Riverside because it's too far, too hard.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears away from the vibe for a second. Talk about the growth of some of these other exciting projects on the hotel side of things.
Yeah.
With the convention center, Disneyland, et cetera.
So Disneyland Forward was unanimously approved by City Council last October. That project, they're already moving dirt. They'll start opening some new attractions probably in the next 2 to 3 years. That's probably an 8 to 10 year total completion project. And right now, that doesn't mean it could change, but right now there's no plans in their current submitted plans for hotels. So I know several international hotel development companies who see that as an opportunity, right? Because it's going to create new demand, create overnight demand. And they're coming into the market with really high-end products. The Catella project, which is a project that's underway, looks to add 4 new hotels. There's a Hard Rock Hotel, 500 rooms each, 2 Hyatt hotels, and a second ever, first of its kind in the U.S., Universal Music Hotel. So that's 2,000 more hotel rooms that could start opening by 2028.
Yeah, it's a mini, more kiddie-like Vegas.
Right.
And these are not small undertakings.
Huge multi-billion dollar projects.
And if those hotels are not necessarily competing with Disney because they're not building more rooms,
correct.
Then it just gives the opportunity for the whole general area to expand.
But look, we're responsible for driving overnight visitation, but at the end of the day, our partners are florists and transportation companies and massage therapies who go into hotels and help people out. So we're about helping everybody, not just the hotels and the resorts or in the attractions. We're here to try to create an ecosystem that drives overnight visitation, but also provides value to the locals.
Yeah.
If you're living in Orange County, you're going to want to go to OC Vibe and see a concert or go eat dinner and pay and park for free and enjoy that experience.
And you have all this new housing. You have the Golden Triangle, that was the thing. If you rewind 10 years ago, that was the next big thing, and we're past it and on to the next. But there is drive from the state level for all cities to add what they call affordable housing.
Yeah.
Nothing's really affordable these days, but certainly new housing and all kinds of other amenities at all different price points.
So as part of the Disneyland Forward project, Disneyland committed $30 million for affordable housing. So that's a direct payment to the city. The city has an affordable housing department, and that's part of the deal. We're also working with the city, Visit Anaheim, and the hotel TID payees, the Tourism Improvement District payees, which is most of the hotels, to figure out an affordable housing program for people who live and work in Anaheim. And matter of fact, tonight, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, there's a city council meeting. I'll be there talking about what this program might look like. And it's got three components. It's got a first time home buyer component, which is amazing. It's a, here's your down payment. And if you stay here for 10 years, you don't
have to pay back.
Yeah,
I read about that.
Super huge. There's an emergency component, and there might be some development component, meaning they may, if this fund builds to a point where you can build some actual affordable housing. The trick is it has to be specifically benefiting the TID payees. So if you build a 5-unit place, it can only be rented to people who live work in a TID hotel in Anaheim.
Yeah.
But it's good growth.
Yeah. Look, and the city has some really unique things to themselves that some of the other surrounding cities don't have. For those who don't know, Anaheim has their own power grid.
Yep.
So it gives them the ability to provide power at a far lesser price than Edison, who's basically servicing everybody else. And the city has all kinds of other programs for beautification, for protection of crime and safety and those kinds of things.
Yeah, look, I think safety and security and being welcoming is part of our DNA. It's been there forever since the parks have opened. Visit Anaheim's been around. Next year will be our 65th anniversary. We're very proud, and the mayor and city council are adamant about, we have the largest police force in Orange County. You can walk through, we had a big client site in last week, and one of the head planners was from the East Coast, so he woke up at 3:30 in the morning and took a walk. And most urban cities would be like, freak out. Oh my God, what did you see? I was filming it because I felt so safe. I walked from the Westin to the 5, turned around, walked back, and felt safe the entire time. So we work hard. The beauty of having Disneyland in Anaheim, where we don't miss the value of that amazing asset, but it guarantees that we know safety is our absolute biggest deliverable. And if that gets broken at any point, we're in trouble.
Yeah. And like any big city, in Anaheim, one of the biggest, if not the biggest city in Orange County, still has different pockets of what I'll call troublesome areas that are in transition. And so nobody's more familiar with it than me, who drives around on the weekend looking at our own stuff. But I do feel like as time goes on, the gentrification of these neighborhoods changes. And then the goal, obviously, for the city, for the property owners and the tenants, is really to lift it to a different level. And the more people who are coming, they're spending money
and
they're fueling the whole rest of the economy, which to me, whether you're blue or you're red or you're Trump or you're not, I'm a business guy and I'm pro business.
Right.
The more businesses succeed, the better off I think it is for everybody else. It rolls downhill.
Totally agree. Look, and I think the city has been really good about identifying hotels on Bell Road, and some other areas where they're not great hotels. And the city's been purchasing these hotels and demolishing them and clearing them and using those sites to get investors to come in and do affordable housing. It's not all affordable housing, but a component of it is. So the city's being smart about the whole entirety of Anaheim, not just what we call the resort district, which is a little bit of a protected special place.
Let's talk a little bit about the different organizations and the different, I guess I'll call, wings that you deal with in promoting the city and all that's going on. I'm certainly you're dealing with the city and you're dealing with the city council
regularly
and the leaders, because they must be driving the same sort of game plan and agenda. And then you got to be dealing with the corporate folks outside of the Disney and the Samueli. There's all these other companies that are headquartered there.
Yeah,
talk about how that kind of
works. It's so much fun. So we talk regularly to our big partners, whether it's the Hilton, the Marriott, the Westin, Disneyland, OC Vibe. I'm weekly on conversations with all those folks to figure things out. Well, a great example is Bill Foltz, who runs OC Vibe, president and CEO, called me a couple months ago. He's like, hey, and I pitched him on the idea probably 6 months ago on how do we take Anaheim and make it the global hub for volleyball? Because USA Volleyball trains in Anaheim, and the Olympics, like I said, or the indoor volleyball is coming to Anaheim for the 28 Olympics. So how do we position Anaheim as a global hub for volleyball? And he loved the idea. And John Spurrah, who's head of USA Volleyball, has become a good friend. And John loved the idea too. So And it took a lot of money, a lot of time. But with our help and with OC Vibe's help, we actually pitched and won a World Cup Women's Volleyball Championship in Anaheim in 27. And it's a pre-qualifier for the 28 Olympics. Whether it's sports, whether it's creating venues, we brought the Savannah Bananas to Anaheim last year. And people are like, why would you bring the Savannah Bananas? Because 68% of the people who bought the 90,000 tickets live 250 miles or more away. Huh. So they came to town.
Had to stay over.
Spent the whole weekend, enjoyed Disneyland, enjoyed many restaurants throughout town, and happened to take in a Savannah Bananas game. So
awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
And what about the cities that are surrounding Anaheim? Do they have the same – they can't have the same kind of manpower and budget that you do, but it seems like if I was in Orange or I was in Fullerton or Garden Grove, I'd be on the coattails of what's going on in Anaheim.
Yeah, look, we actually represent both Anaheim and Garden Grove. We have separate TIDs, but we're funded through both, so we sell both Garden Grove and Anaheim. It's under the Visit Anaheim umbrella. But ironically, Huntington Beach has a destination marketing organization. Yeah. So does Newport Beach. And we just had a client event last week, and they spent 3 days with us and 2 days with Newport Beach. And we gladly transferred them down to Newport Beach and did a soft handoff. And because they're not competition. If you come to Anaheim and you spend 3 or 4 or 5 nights, we want you to do 2 or 3 days at Disney, but we also want you to maybe go up to Universal or down to San Diego for SeaWorld or over to Huntington and Newport and enjoy the ocean.
Part of the pitch is you should stay for more than 2 or 3 days because there's so much to do. It's not just I dip into Disneyland and I get out.
Exactly.
And so that really is, I think, the message going forward will just be the variety of various different venues and activities and opportunities, in addition to the fact that the weather's nice.
It's
and
insane.
You can go to the beach.
Best place we've ever lived. And we were talking about it before the show. The two things Anaheim was missing when I left in 2014 were luxury products, hotel products, and a really legitimate food scene. Because when I left, we didn't have either. Had a couple spotty deals, but in the time I've left, game changer. Like we have James Beard chefs, we have Michelin rated restaurants, we have 4 luxury products. We have the Westin, which is beautiful, the JW by Marriott. We have the Viv, which is also a Marriott collection in the Grand California. And we have, like I said, 4 more coming with Tele Project. So we know that people who are looking for luxury travel will not sacrifice. So they would go to Newport or they would go to other locations instead of staying in Anaheim. Now they're staying in Anaheim and going to the parks and enjoying the parks because we have the product to deliver. Same with the restaurant scene.
Yeah, it seems like the possibilities really are endless. And then with all these new different venues and things going on, you now have so much to pitch. It's just a question of reaching out and grabbing that audience and bringing them here. I guess that was one of my other questions was, what's the target market? I assume it's everybody, but is there an international market or is that difficult with the economy at the moment? Is it the Western United States? Is it anybody who'll come?
Yeah, so it's almost universal for every location. So whatever state you're in is your number one domestic feeder market. So California is by far our number one market with LA and San Diego driving the majority of that. Although ironically, Palm Springs has become a really big feeder market for us, but international is 10%, and they stay longer, they spend more, and it's flat year over year because Canada's down, but Mexico's up, and the UK's up, and Australia, New Zealand's up, but we're pretty flat. So we go after everybody. So the one thing we were missing, though, if you think about the demographic of Anaheim pre-OC Vibe, is we were missing this sort of adult-forward live entertainment component, right? Anaheim was a little sleepy. Come in, do Disneyland, go to dinner, bed at 9, get up the next day, do it again. We're with OC Vibe, we're so blessed to be able to have this new product where if you want to go out and see a concert or eat a late night dinner, you're now going to have that option.
And also with the fact that Irvine really used to have those sort of mid-level concert venues and really don't anymore.
Yep.
Now your competition is going to
San Diego.
And then you got to go fight the traffic. Yep. And so it's much better to stay closer to home, I think.
And we're also, which is a little bit rare for a destination marketing organization, but we're also about it's part of our strategic plan. Like, how do we create events that drive overnight visitation, either by purchasing them, bringing them to town, or by building them from scratch? And we're working with 3 different partners on the first ever comedy culinary festival in Anaheim over April Fool's weekend next year. And an official announcement will go up probably in the next 30 days or so. But we have some amazing comedy people. We have some amazing event operations people as part of our partnership. And we're part owners in this show. And the idea is, how do you create an event that has amazing comic offerings, comedians coming to town and doing shows all over town, throw in a culinary component, and over time build this to where it'll take over OC Vibe.
Yeah. And really, it seems to me like the people in LA, I mean, I used to live in LA,
yep,
don't really like coming to Orange County, whatever the deal is. Whereas, and the flip side is, people in Orange County don't really like going to
leave the bubble.
In San Diego and Riverside, they would come to Orange County. They
for sure
also really don't want to go to LA. So you've got a captive audience, which is tens of millions of people.
Yeah. And there's 30 million, 30 million potential visitors in this 100-mile radius of Anaheim.
Right.
So we're super blessed to have that density of population. And we get a little spoiled. We want it easy. We want it not cumbersome. And to be able to take the train up from San Clemente, a family of four, and enjoy OC Vibe, and then take some sort of transportation over to the convention center, which is a easy walk to Disneyland. We want to make that offering special and really a competitive advantage.
And I think a lot of people don't really realize how big and popular the Anaheim Convention Center is,
yeah,
and how much traffic they pull, because that traffic really does pull from outside the area and outside the state. People like coming here because of the weather. I got to believe that the convention center will benefit and vice versa.
Huge.
Because when these people come for these conventions, they want to branch out.
Yeah. So we're the largest convention center. The Anaheim Convention Center is the largest convention center on the West Coast. So bigger than San Diego, bigger than is not announced their expansion, which is actually good. We, rising tide, we're a big believer in. But we know when you come to Anaheim, whether you're coming for NAMM, natural products, any of our, really, we do about 50 to 55 conventions annually. So almost every single week, somebody's in town. They come in town, they experience the convention, but they also fall in love with the weather, maybe fall in love with some of the food and beverage and things to do, and over time might choose to move, whether it's to Anaheim or Southern California, because of that experience.
Or bring their family back.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for a vacation, for sure. Or stay on. This sort of business leisure component is real, and we're seeing it. Our length of stay is actually getting a little bit longer because people are trying to capitalize on, look, I'm flying to Anaheim anyway on business, but if I fly my family out, because there's so many, you can fly into Long Beach, John Wayne, LAX,
right,
even San Diego, take the train up. We're seeing a lot of people come in early or stay late, which we love.
Are there lessons to be learned from some of these other cities, whether it's Orlando, Houston, or even other cities you haven't worked at, that you're bringing to Anaheim?
Yeah, look, I think the watching firsthand the how the growth and development of Houston changed the dynamic of that city. Houston was also smart enough to own the value of sports, right? Downtown, you got the Rockets play downtown, the soccer's downtown, the Astros are all downtown. So you can really do an amazing offering from a leisure perspective with that kind of assets. And even NRG is a quick train ride from downtown. So what I learned about that was, how do you capitalize the assets that you have? Because we have the Ducks and the Angels, two legitimate professional sports teams. That's a draw. And how do we capitalize on that and do create packages and programs that benefit overnight visitation, but also benefits those partners?
Yeah. And so is there a business plan other than growth that your group really has? And then, hey, here's the lane we're going to try and stay in?
Yeah. I actually have a meeting today at 11 at City Hall with Sergio Ramirez, who runs economic development, Ted, and the city manager, Jim Vanderpool, on what does the process look like to do an RFP to hire a firm to actually give us what's called a destination master plan. So it's an outside firm we'll hire. We will partially fund that, or potentially fund all of it for the city. And we won't run it, but we'll be part of it. And it's all about bringing an expert in. Maybe they worked in Dubai, or maybe they worked somewhere else in Asia, Singapore. Like, how do we bring an expert in and say, okay, what does a perfect Anaheim visit look like 10 years from now, and how do we create that?
Yeah. And I got to believe that somewhere along the way, there's that wow factor on top of the stuff that's already going on, but a little bit of Vegas, but Orange County style.
Yeah. There's no, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago with the city, there's no arch or even Disney World. When you drive into Disney World, drive under that beautiful Welcome to Disney World when you're in Orlando. We don't really have that in Anaheim. And we're in conversations with the city about building these bridges. Because if you think about pedestrian movement in and around Anaheim, right now it's all surface.
Right. So crossing across Catella by Riverside Convention Center, Disneyland.
Insane.
Very
insane.
Yes.
So how do we do bridges? And if we do bridges, do we do them in an ornamental, beautiful way that says, welcome to Anaheim? We're in those conversations right now, and we're pretty confident we'll figure something out.
I heard one of those concepts said Mike helped do this and had a big picture of yours on the bridge.
Yeah, I wish. Never quite. It's never about credit, unfortunately. It's always just about getting stuff done.
Yeah. No, but there's no question that the movement of people to these different pockets
matters.
Of entertainment makes a big difference. And then the same thing will apply to moving or getting this workforce employment
yep.
demographic to be able to live closer
yeah.
to what's going on. And
well,
I think that'll be a challenge.
Yeah, and the city's looking at that. There's Anaheim Transportation Network, ATN, which is amazing. And that was the one thing that we couldn't figure out in Houston. We were trying to, this mass transit, making it easier for the workers to get from their home, which may not be in Anaheim, maybe in Fullerton, maybe in Orange, Garden Grove. How do we get them easily, not having to take 4, 5, 6 different buses? So the fact that we have a transportation network in Anaheim, we couldn't figure it out in Orlando. We couldn't quite figure it out in Houston. We're going to figure it out. We've already figured it out. A couple tweaks here and there, but that's a huge value for Anaheim. I'm not sure that folks of Anaheim truly understand and appreciate that, but if it ever went away, they would really appreciate it because I've seen when it doesn't work. And
yeah. And I mean, my sense of it is certainly you have the Samueli family and foundation
yep.
that is big picture thinkers.
Big picture.
And then the folks at the city are big picture
Agreed.
Thinkers, as are you. So it's not about what's going to happen next year or the following
nope.
year. It's what's going to happen 10, 20 years
Correct.
From now. What's it going to look like? It really is changing the landscape of the city.
Yeah, look, for us, the fun thing for me, and we brought a dozen of the top meeting planners. They do meetings all over the world in a couple months ago. And we did the whole tour. We took them to Arctic where there's a show area. You can see what Arctic's going to look or what OC Vibe's going to look like. I did a whole thing on Disneyland Forward, talked a little bit about the Catella project. And I'm walking out with the president and CEO who literally has been on every continent on the planet. And he's like, Mike, I don't think there's a city on the planet that has as much stuff going on as you guys.
That's a lot of stuff.
What are you doing to tell the world about it? I'm like, yeah, we're working on that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Does the state get involved at all? Or are you really just
So there is a state organization called Visit California that we are very locked up. I had a call with them yesterday. There's 16 of us, the CEOs from across California that are traveling to Canada next week. And the whole message there is we're really trying to separate California, which kind of fits in the California vibe, away from the U.S. Hey, we are in the U.S., but we're California and we're welcoming and you should come and visit. And we have great contacts or client events set up. So we work lockstep with Visit California. They're one of the best DMOs, one of the biggest DMOs in North America, and they do a great job and they're amazing partners.
Yeah. By the time you get there, it'll be cold in Canada,
yeah.
which is your best selling
yep.
point. Look, it's freezing and it's going to snow here. You should come where it's warm.
We do this. We did a sponsorship with the Ducks. We're the away jersey sponsor. So our logo sits on the jerseys for the away teams. And like when we do a game in Toronto or Vancouver, we'll literally put on the ice or on the digital boards. It's 78 degrees in Anaheim right now, come visit.
Right.
It's just really tease them to.
Yeah, it's not a tough sell.
Not a tough sell.
And their currency's doing better
really
against
well.
The dollar.
Yeah,
so
it's doing
they
good.
Got a lot of reasons to
it's
come.
It's doing good.
Yeah.
So, we just got to get them past the misperception that they're not welcome, which
yeah,
is not true.
True. In terms of finding out more information, is there a central place where people can go that they can find out about all these exciting things?
Yeah, visit Anaheim.org is our website, and we have amazing stuff. There's an area where you can like enjoy Anaheim like a local. We have a lot of podcasts and information all about if you want to come and visit what there is to do. We actually did this really fun thing we hired a firm that came up with this campaign called the Imagine Agency, where kids create itineraries for their visits to Anaheim. And we engaged some local celebrity kids to do that program. So there's a lot of very valuable information on our website, visitanaheim.org.
Yeah. So definitely for folks out there that are interested in either learning more about it or coming to Anaheim or Orange County in general, that's a great resource of things that are going on and things to come.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen, I appreciate you coming on and sharing all this great stuff and all the information, and wish you and your family and the city and your group much continued success. In terms of employment, employment, I was going to ask you, do you hook up people with some of these other employers? Or if people are looking for jobs or different jobs, how do they find out about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The city has some great resources on jobs. We don't really do the job thing so much, although we do have a workforce development program where we're trying to get kids in high school excited about coming to work for, whether it's us or one of our partners. So there is a workforce development component that we have on our website.
For everybody out there, go to visit anaheim.org and learn more about everything that's going on, not only today, but what's coming down the pipe for sure.
Thanks.
So I appreciate you coming on. For everybody here, I want to thank all the folks at OC Talk Radio again for always putting on the show. I am Barry Sawitz. We will be back here next week talking real estate. Thanks for tuning in.
There you have it. You've been listening to Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Sawitz about the current state of the real commercial real estate market right here in Southern California. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.